just let me tell you something. When you give, God supplies all your needs. Amen. Whatever those needs may be. I don't know about you, but there's some times that we need to look in our closet and say, okay, those 32s and 33s ain't going to fit when you're in the 40s already. You got to just. I know it's we can have faith. We can have faith, but the reality is sometimes we need to just go out and get some new clothing, right? Well, the thing is that if you give it, I'm saying this for a reason, if you give it, guess what will be given back to you? What you have given is seed. Now, when we do these outreaches, I know I wish we had an actual place that we can keep all the clothing, because if I was to ask you right now, do you have clothing that you can get rid of? Everybody's going to go back in their closet and say, oh, I got a whole bunch to get rid of. Right? How many of you got clothing you want to get rid of right now? Look at you. I'm about to rebuke you because you still hadn't done it yet. You hadn't gotten rid of it. You're still holding on to some things. You're still holding on to some things that are in your possession that you hadn't released yet, but you're looking for someone to say, just bring, right? Well, here's the thing. God has always made a way for us to get the things that we need, but there's people out there that are praying for those same kind of needs. And if they're still in your closet, I'm guilty of it as well. There's a whole bunch of 33s and 34s. Why? I don't know. But they're in there. They're in there thinking like, I'm going to get back down to that size. Please. The devil is alive. That means I got to give up the tortillas. That means I got to give up the rice and the beans, conchitas and everything else. I ain't doing that. But I do know something that we do. We got to get rid of some things and we got to give the good things. Amen. So when we begin to do these outreaches here in San Antonio, I ask for you to give the good things. Good things. And you say, well, Pastor, I already did all that. I took it to Goodwill and they're going to make money off of it. They are. They are. Then there's people in need downtown. I went and was downtown last night and driving through and I saw this young man walking across right in front of the Majestic Theater. No shoes, just some shorts and a beat up, torn up shirt, T-shirt. Young man. If he was past his 30s, I would say I was off by a few numbers. But I believe he was young, about 28, maybe 30 years old. And I watched as many people would just walk around him. Wouldn't even give eye contact. Guess who went up to him? No. A young child. A young child went up to him and said, hi. I could hear it all because I was in my convertible. And I didn't have no radio on. I was just driving through. And I could hear the whole conversation because it was right here. He says, hi, my name is so-and-so. And I could see the parents walking right behind him. He says, my dad wants to give you something. So now this time the light's getting ready to turn green. It turns green and I stay listening. I start listening to what's happening. And the father comes and says, this is my daughter. She has passion for people that are in need. So I want you to follow me. I want to take you to have dinner. And at that point, the person behind me starts honking and stuff because it's time for me to leave. So I see them walking. Now, you would think they're going to take them to a fast food place. The Palms restaurant is right next to it. Now, I don't know what happened, but I'm passing it up now at this point, and he's talking to the doorman to let them in. And then after that, I drove off. But it took the young child to do it. Nobody else would, because everybody else was so busy where they're going. If we continue to do that, let's not forget about some of the things that we've gone through in our life. And somebody's out there that just kind of passed you by. Didn't take time to notice your circumstance or your situation. But sometimes it just takes the faith of a child. You know, I talked about it the other day when I was a child. I thought like a child. I acted like a child. First thing I told you is I am a child. I may think like an adult, but I am a child. The reason why I'm a child is because I want to stay young at heart. I get on my kids' nerves because I'm too much of a child. But I'm a child. So when I saw that, it just reminded me of what took place yesterday morning. We had the youth in here ready to go out and do what they wanted to do. And they're scared. They ain't going to lie to you. They're scared. They don't want to go and talk to people that they don't know what could happen. So I asked the adults, how many of y'all in here are scared to do that? Walk up to a stranger like, yeah? That little girl must have been probably 7, 8 years old. And just walked up, "Hi, my name is." I wonder if we could all do that, walk up to say, "Hey, my name is." "Hi, my name is." And just talk to people. And if we could do that, can you imagine the testimony that you could share concerning how good God is? And it can just change someone's life. So I encourage you, get out there. Introduce yourself to some people. And when you do, you can share the good news. The Bible says that how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. So he's not saying that he's going to look at your feet and see whether or not you have them polished. If you're all ashy, corns, and just saying, some of us don't want to be seen in our frailty. We want to remain covered. Get your Bibles, if you would, please. Get your Bibles. It is 11:05. I'm getting ready to get into this particular message. And I want to share with you what the Lord has given me concerning the high seas of purpose and destiny. The high seas of purpose and destiny. We're going to begin on this one here. It will be called the covering. Look to your neighbor. He said, "The covering." Look to your other name and say, "Neighbor, who's your covering?" Now look behind you and say, "Neighbor, who's your covering? What's your covering? What's your name is?" I was just making sure y'all were listening. That's all. All right. Mark chapter 9, if you would. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14 is where we'll begin this particular reading. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And if you're ready, just say amen and we'll know that we're all together. Amen. Josh, go ahead and just lift it up and turn that off, please. All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of the religious law were arguing with them, just like anything else. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all the arguing about?" Jesus asked. Verse 17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit and won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" Who is Jesus now? "Bring me the boy." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. Say, covering. Verse 21, he says, "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's covering. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Did you see that in your scripture there? "Help us if you can." I love Jesus. That's how I know I can get on some people's nerves and be all right with it. Verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, "What do you mean, if I can?" Imagine, gee, I think he was rolling the neck and all. "What you mean, if I can?" Come on, are you reading it with attitude? First of all, he just, "How long must I be with you? What do you mean if I can?" Shoo, better recognize, you know, my Bible. Better recognize if I can. But coming to me and ask me if I can, shoo. He said, "Let me just tell it to you like it is. Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me become overcome my unbelief." believe. Well, hold up now. You said that you do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Do you believe? Do you believe? Yes, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. How many times has Jesus had to get in your face and tell you, you believe? Yeah, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. How many times? We're looking at a circumstance that's pretty serious here. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. And then the boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Well, Lord, I thank you for your word that is true. I thank you that your word proves, Father, that we sometimes are a people that say we're faithful, but yet we believe. And on the other hand, we need to overcome our unbelief. I thank you that your word is a mirror, so that we can see the reflection that is within us, Lord, and that helps us in your word to see what your intent is. As your word covers us, and as you are our covering, Lord, I thank you that you display your grace and your mercy for your people. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. We honor you in applying the word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. I want you to look to your neighbor and say it, if I can. Now say it with attitude. If I can. Say it again with attitude. Roll that neck. Roll that neck. If I can. Some of y'all are just trying to pop your neck. No. Roll that neck like with attitude. If I can. Now let's go and do it again. Stand up to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Let's just address this unbelief. Now, I want you to say it with attitude, pointing to the ground. Point to the ground, because that's where this lying spirit comes from. Watch now. Watch now. Point to the ground with attitude. If I can. There you go. There you go. Some of y'all really got into that one. If I can. That's it. Come on. You got to get some attitude with this thing, because as I look across this sanctuary, I see some folks that got some issues. I see some folks that have been carrying some things on their life. But they ain't tired of being tired. They've been running and hiding. They've been saying, I brought my boy to you. If I could just jump right into the scripture, Jesus could have said, no, you didn't. Say it again with attitude, all of you. No, you didn't. Because the scripture said he brought his son to his disciples. And didn't bring him to Jesus. Now say it one more time. No, you didn't. Now you can take a seat. I'm just going to kind of continue on with this here. Because when I begin to read scripture, I begin to see some things that God wants us to see. But if we just read, oh, I remember this story. It's been preached over thousands of times. And I know this story. Well, it's not a story. It's an action. It is something that has taken place. It was an act. It was something that they could look at to be tangible. It was something they could see as a recorded act that says, I see this man, this father that brings his son to his disciples. Do you think there's some desperation there? Then I begin to look back at the very beginning, and it was when they returned to the other disciples, that when they saw him, the crowd saw Jesus, they were amazed and they ran to him. Then I began to ask God, why were they amazed? Are we just easily amazed? T.D. Jakes walks in the room and we're all going to run to T.D. Jakes? Shame on you if you do. None but a man. How many people that we put on a pedestal that we run to just because they walk into a room? How many are we going to run to if Justin Bieber walks in? Some of y'all are like, shoot. No, no, you're getting rid of that demon. But here's something. You know, the crowd sees him and then they're amazed at him. So, you know, my thought was, why? Why? So then I said, well, let's let the scripture reveal why. So if you would just, let's just look back a little bit. Let's just look back. Let's go to Mark 9. And let's jump back just a few. Hold on, I would have to go ahead and get rid of all this here. Mark 9, go to verse 9. Verse 9. And when you're there, say amen. You know, I love computers and gadgets. But they can get on my nerves. Or it can get on my nerves. It's supposed to do what it's supposed to do when you tell it to do it, right? And he said, just hurry up now because, you know, it's supposed to have more speed and it's supposed to come up faster. And it's supposed to do what it's supposed to do when you want it to do it, right? Isn't that true? It's kind of how God tells us, you know, I've already given you everything you need, but you still don't do it when I tell you to do it. I'm just saying. Mark 9, verse 9, it says, and as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had just seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So when I read that, he said they were coming down the mountain, he charged them not to tell anyone what they had just seen. I said, oh, there's something to this. So I go back up to the top and I look at verse 2. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him the three musketeers. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John were always together. He always called them into certain things to witness certain events. But I'm reading this out of the Gospel of Mark, and Mark is writing to a Gentile nation. So when you read in the book of Mark, Mark doesn't give specifics on timing. You'll read in Scripture that he's always saying immediately or then after or soon after. But this time he puts a number to something that he's trying to have the writers pay attention to. He says, 6 days. After 6 days, he took with him Peter, James, and John. Well, he's writing for us to take note for something that he normally doesn't say. I began to read and I said, God, what is this about the 6 days? Well, we know that six is the number of man. He's about to transfigure from man into his deity, into who he really is. And he's going to do it in front of the three musketeers. And he's going to show them something because everything he does is about purpose. So now after 6 days, there's a man figure, but now something's about to take place. So he is now addressing what is about to take place. Now watch. And he led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes, right, Lionel? His clothes. His clothes, watch this, became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. No ancient Chinese secret. No Clorox bleach. No OxyClean. Nothing that we can conjure up to make it any whiter. His covering was made white. Than anything else. So I begin to read as he's given such descriptive notes on here. But if we were just to read it, we're like, oh yeah, he went before the Lord. He's all white. It was bright light. It's good. So then I had an understanding. The covering became so intensely white. So when he came down the mountain, they witnessed the covering that was on him. That's when the people ran to him. It speaks about what is on you that people can see. When you spend time with the Lord, are people seeing what's on you or what's still in you? All right, now, all right. We're just going to have to get there because some of y'all just looking at me like, I don't, where are you going with this? Well, we say we're in the presence of God. And then you come out and people don't see the glory of God on your life. They don't see what's on you. They see what's in you. Is something pushing the button that's going to take away the time that you spent with God and reveal what's really inside. Oh, Lord. If we're going to spend time with God like that, we need to be walking out and people seeing, "Woo, you spent some time with the Lord today." And guess what your response would be? Really? How'd you know? Or better recognize I was with God. And the Lord showed me everything about you. No, he didn't. He done showed you everything about you. So what are people seeing? What are people seeing? They saw when Jesus and the disciples, the three musketeers, met up with the other team. They get there and there's all this commotion. They see Jesus and they run to Jesus in amazement. The covering shows up on the scene. Oh. But before I wanted to go back to that story, I said, "Lord, what is significant about this?" Because I know about the transfiguration. He goes to be with the Father. And then Peter. What was Peter doing when Jesus found Peter? Okay. All right. Really? He was a fisherman. You understand that was his trade. That's how he made his money. He was a fisherman. Watch Peter here. Watch this. Peter. And there appeared to him Elijah. This is verse 4. And there appeared to him Elijah with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. Here's Peter. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, is it good that we are all here? Let us make three houses for you. One for Moses and one for Elijah." Since when he become a builder? Since when did he was able to go ahead and start building houses? Watch this. Don't miss this. How many times when you get in the presence of God and he shows you something that you get fearful and you blame shift? And you shift and you start doing something that you were never supposed to be doing. Because when Jesus found Peter and he was in the boat and he was fishing, Peter, he wasn't a good fisherman, so couldn't catch fish. He tells him, just do it on the other side, right? So he tells him to follow him. And then what does he tell him? He changes his profession. He changes what his purpose is. He changes his call. Come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. All right, here's the call. There's the call. You're no longer going to be fishing for the fish that smell. You're going to start fishing for men that really smell. He's used to it. Okay, so he changes him, changes the call, changes his path to his destiny. But now when he's with Jesus, he sees Moses and Elijah, and he says, "Now I'm going to build. Since when do you make the choice to change your call, change your destiny?" But it makes sense. Anytime you're in the presence of God, you can do all things. Kind of reminded me when I had a restaurant. Remember that, Mom? Had a restaurant. Even had church services in the restaurant. Shoot, Charlie, while it's in the room right now, I used to have services right there. And we just move all the tables, put the chairs out, and we would have service right there. People got saved in the restaurant. All good, huh? All good. And we had food right afterwards. It was a good place. It was a good place. But see, when you're in the presence of God, you have church in a restaurant, you think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then God says, "Oh, really? I need to show you something. Go do construction, working on mobile homes." Come on, sir. Tell them the story, sir. Okay, I'll go do mobile homes. Come on, Popo, let's go do mobile homes. Watch this. We think that we got everything figured out because we're in the presence of God. We try to do things that we're not supposed to be doing anyhow. And God says, oh, you want to go down that road? Oh, you think that I'm the one that told you to go do that? No, you just a little bit on the shaky side because you think you know something. But I got to show you that every time you think you know what you're doing, you're about to make a mistake. And I'm going to let you go down that road that you want to create in yourself. And then when you get there, you're going to be full of fleas. You're going to be full of trash. There ain't going to be no AAC. There ain't going to be people that are going to be ministering to you. But you just got uncomfortable not knowing where the next dollar was going to come from. So you try to make things work for you. Traveling all the way to Buda, Texas all the time. Seguin. Working on mobile homes that had no power in them. They don't get it, Bubba. They don't get it. You were going to go someplace to do something because you spent time with God and you heard the Lord say that you were to go and start your business and do it this way. And so all of a sudden you think that you heard from God because you spent time with God and you get out of the will of God and you go do your will as opposed to His will. You're going to find yourself in a mess. Thought I was learning about contracts. I thought I was learning about doing certain things. You weren't learning nothing about anything other than yourself. Because every time you stepped into something, you were cleaning somebody else's mess. We never walked into a brand new one. Never walked into one that all we had to do was just sweep and clean. We always walked into somebody else's mess that was left over. And we had to get rid of all the mess. How many times you walked into a situation, all you're doing is cleaning up other people's mess? You cleaning up everybody else's mess, but your own. That's when the Lord says, are you tired of chasing your dream? Because it ain't the dream I put in you. You tried to get out of the will. Watch this. This is still in the same story right here. Watch. Verse 6, it says, for he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. It's kind of like how we get when we're scared. We just say stupid things. I'll build you a house. Let me get my fishing rod. I'm going to build you a house. Watch this. Then the cloud covers them all. Look to your neighbor and say, the covering. See, God knows you're about to make the biggest mistake of your life. Then the covering comes. And when the covering comes, it keeps you from seeing what you think you're supposed to see and what you're supposed to do. And then watch this. Then, because the covering came, the covering spoke. Verse 7, and a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Watch this. Listen to him. And then suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with him but Jesus only. The cloud, the covering came and said, listen to Jesus. Why is he saying that? Quit listening to your own thoughts, your own desires, or your own unbelief. So then he hears this, and you go on to the rest, and they get to that next section when you get to verse 14. But before we go to verse 14, I want to make note that this reminded me of a similar circumstance. When Moses went up, he went up to a high mountain. He goes up to the mountain, and watch this. After 6 days, see some similarities there. After 6 days, this is Exodus 24, this is the story. He goes up with three. He goes up to the mountain with three. Jesus goes up the mountain with the three musketeers. Moses goes up with three. 70 elders at a distance watching. So when he goes up with God, now after 6 days, the people see the cloud has been covering Moses. Same similarity, covering again. But what happened in the book of Exodus was that they didn't want to wait for the covering to come back with instructions and a new way of living, that they took it into their own hands and began to create a golden calf. How many times, and I find it very interesting in how God allows Lionel to come start singing, and y'all ask for it again. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. You liar. You're lying. A good song. You're like, ooh, that's a good song. No, it ain't. You hate it. Because you don't like waiting. That is our nature. We don't like to wait. 6 days. The Israelites just got freed from being in bondage. They got freed from being under the hand of Pharaoh. And they're out there. And then 6 days, the cloud covers Moses. But they don't like waiting. Oh, Moses, you go talk to him. Because every time you talk to him, Lord, he answers with thunder and lightning. We don't like that. That's not the God I want to serve. And then he says, if we even touch the mountain, we die. I don't like your God, so we're going to create our God. So they make the golden calf. Can you imagine Moses is up there in the presence of God? He is under the cloud. He's under a different kind of covering. He's been appointed by God. He is under the cloud, and God starts speaking to him. But if you read in Scripture, it says, how did he answer Moses? With thunder. Lord. And how about it? I even got scared with that one. How about it? When he really answers you. No wonder why they were scared. But Moses is right there in the presence of God. And he's at the height of the mountain looking down on the people in their mess, in their sin, and what they've been struggling with. And God says, oh, by the way, you see your people down there? Moses turned around. Lord, can I just stay here with you? I bet you that's what Peter was thinking. Let me make a house for y'all. I don't want to go over there with them no more. I like it right here with you. Can I just stay up here in the mountain? See, we all want to keep our mountaintop experiences, but we never want to deal with the valley experiences. We always want to deal with the things that are up high so we can see everybody else's mess. But God said, no, you're going to get back down there and you're going to deal with the mess that you've never dealt with before. You're going to deal with unbelief. What happened in Exodus was a prelude to what's going to happen even with Jesus in their life. See, Moses was the spokesman, the covering for the Israelites. The covering goes up to the covering. God himself, the covering, gets covered by the cloud, the covering. And they get so scared that they want to go and create their own God. You have just witnessed so many good things in your life. You get loose from the bondage. You get loose from being as a slave. It just happened. And then you not only hear the voice of God speaking, but you're scared. How many of you would love to hear God speak like that right now? You're like, I don't know. That's kind of, I don't. Here's the thing. They heard God. They saw God. They saw and witnessed all his hands and what he did. And yet they still turn. Still turn. So then we fast forward quite a few years, isn't it? Here we are. Peter is like, I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you a house. I'll build one for Moses and Elijah. I don't know how Elijah got here because I don't really know about Elijah. I've just been reading the scrolls about Elijah. I do remember that he was taken up. I guess he's here. So we need to build him a house here now, right? Because he's been wandering for so long. We got to build him a house here. Build one for Moses. Build one for you, Jesus. I just don't want to go back down there and deal with those people no more. Those church folks really get on my nerves. I don't want to have to do that, because then we got to go to the synagogue, and we go to the synagogue and they start reading this thing. It makes me fall asleep. I'm tired of being in the synagogue. The synagogue don't even bring the Holy Ghost. They don't even have the right equipment for us to sing and preach. We just stay here. I'm being in your presence, God. I'm going to stay on the mountaintop with you, and we're going to stay right here. Do you notice that nobody else spoke? Do you notice nobody else spoke? Wasn't it the three musketeers? Three musketeers, right? Peter just decides he's going to be the voice for the three musketeers. And nobody else spoke, but just Peter. That's why I can associate with Peter. We think we know it all, so we have to say something. We think we have a better understanding of your situation, so we have to talk to you about your circumstance. So then Peter said, no, we're just going to stay here. And then God just covers them with the cloud. Can you imagine how comfortable it was for Peter then? Can you imagine? I thought I was making the right, I was going to make the right idea, and I was going to make it a good idea, make it a God idea that I'll build a house for you. But that wasn't the right idea. That wasn't God's idea. And then you cover, and then you take away Moses and Elijah. Thank God I didn't get started on building those houses, because then I really would have been upset, because I went and spent all this time to build these houses. But then you took them away. I wonder where they went. But are you finding how we do that when we get in God's presence? There's a purpose why they went up. There's a purpose why they went up. And there's a purpose why they're coming back down. Now we read in Exodus, when they come back down off the mountain, what happens to those that built the calf? They were destroyed. They were killed. They were murdered. Murdered. God murdered. He killed. So I find it very interesting that many people say, oh, you serve that Jesus love movement. Let me love on you some. Touch my kids. Touch my wife. Put your words on me. Let me love on you. I lay hands on you. Come on. Put yourself in that situation. How many people that you know have come against your God? Mm-hmm. Come against your God. Then they come against you and they want to put their mouth on you. This isn't in my notes. This is free. I was in prayer last week and the Lord showed me. I think I was talking to you here Wednesday night. Something's coming. And what you've been feeling is coming, you're right, is not good. Now, it was confirmed with the shooting that took place in the school that they would, the young man that killed him would ask him, are you a Christian? And if they said yes, he would kill him. I said, Lord, it's about enough. These are your children. These are your followers. These are your prophets. And before you start getting all crazy saying prophets, never said they were prophets. How good are those? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news? And then when they speak as a messenger. What's the message? The good news. And when you bring good news, you are a messenger. You are a prophet of God. Without thinking that it's just a prophet, that only one prophet exists. Stop it. What is happening right now is there's an attack on the prophetic voice of the church. And he is trying to get the people to come under so much fear through the terrorism and the tactic that has taken place that now Christians are afraid to even stand. But I find it very interesting that when they said, are you a Christian, is announcing to the world that there is a straight attack coming straight for the church. And I said, God, your word says, touch not my anointed, put not a word on my prophets. And watch what will happen unto you if you touch my anointed. And we're about tired of seeing people get killed for their belief in Christ. That I believe that the sword of God is coming to remove the head of the serpent. That is trying to take the voice out of the church. Don't be afraid. Something is coming. And it's not to bring an alarm to you. It's to sound the alarm for you. Something is coming. You got people all over the world just stocking up on water, canned goods, I'm all for preparation. But if we can't humble ourselves and get down on our knees and pray, we can change every circumstance. We can change every situation. We can change everything that is demonic that is taking place. We can change it if we pray. But the problem is we don't know how to pray through anymore. We're so used to letting the church or the pastor do it. You pray. Or you just call the intercessor group. Let them pray. No, you pray. We have got to pray. We are the covering. We are. We have not asked for this to be an easy task, even though we pray and cry for it to be. But something is coming. And there's reason why it's coming. It's because we got off our face. If we could get back on our face, we can begin to have the winds begin to blow in the direction of the church. Then I find it very interesting that we go back into the story here where it says that the covering, the father brings his seed, his seed to the disciples. In other words, how many problems or issues do you have, or how many things that you bring to the church, but you never take directly to Jesus? But you take it to the people in the church because they're ministers, they're leaders. You take it to them, but then they don't know what to do with it. What happened here? They couldn't get rid of that demon. There's some things that we've got to do is take directly to Jesus. But we're so caught up coming to church thinking we brought it to Jesus, but we never brought it to Jesus. You only brought it to church. You're so comfortable with it because it's been with you such a long time. We don't take it to Jesus. We just bring it to church with us. And guess what? You take it with you when you leave church too. Shoot, this is my stuff. It's been with me long enough. I'm just going to take it with me when I leave. But I gave it to the Lord. You didn't give it to God. You took it to the religious area of your life that believes the only belief you have, as long as I'm in church, everything's going to be okay. As long as I'm tithing, everything's going to be okay. As long as I'm praying, everything's going to be okay. No, unless you get to the feet of Jesus and you start allowing him to reveal to you what needs to come forth and come out of you, then people can see the real thing that's on you. Spend time with Jesus. Get in his presence so that when you come off of that mountaintop, the mountaintop, so you can see the whole circumstance that's going on in the bottom in the valley. Comes down, and now the father says, I brought you my son. Jesus looking over, you didn't bring him to me. You took him to my disciples. You didn't bring him to me. Because if you would have brought him to me, oh, I'd have dealt with it. But I find it very interesting here when Jesus asked him, How long? Has this been going on? Watch this. What does he say? Since he was a boy. Now, wait a minute now. So that tells me he's no longer a boy. He's older than a boy. But he has spent time his whole life this way. Where was mama? Don't get it twisted now. Where was mama? I bet your mama said got to the point, I can't even deal with this no more. You deal with your son. I can't deal with this because this is just a little bit too much for me. I've been dealing with this since he was a boy. I carried him. I brought him into this world, and I've been taking care of him. But there's some things I can't deal with no more. Daddy, time for you to stand up and do something about it. Why don't you get out the house with him and go take him somewhere that maybe somebody can help him, because I can't do it no more. I'm past the very end of what I can take. I'm tired of it. Do something about it. Hear this. Come on, Chris. Get over here, Chris. Watch this. He brings him. Then he tells Jesus. Now the crowds already witnessed Jesus coming off the mountain. They witnessed the covering that's on him. Now the Father, as the covering of the Son, his seed, brings him to the disciples. And the disciples can't cast this demon out. The disciples are trying everything. The Shondas and the Hondas. How to tie a bow tie in the Hyundai. Doing everything. But nothing's happening. But I find it interesting that the Father can describe everything that the Son goes through. And if you read on in the Scripture, it continues to elevate even more when He gives the description of what happens. He says, "What is all?" Jesus says, "And what is all this commotion to the people?" And it says, "One in the crowd." Watch this. One in the crowd. Come here, Michael. Stand over here. Come on, Pauline. Stand over here. Come on, try to stand over here. One in the crowd. Come on, Sylvia. Get over there. Get over there. Get all around him. Get all around him. Come on, James. Get around him. Come on. Get around him. Come on, Bean. Get in there, Bean. Come on, get in there. Get in there. Get in there. So they're all around. And they're all witnessing the covering that has come from the mountaintop into their circumstance, into the realm that they can see. There's something different about this Jesus. And then now there's someone in the crowd that says, "I brought my son to you." Jesus said, I knew there was something going on. That's why I had to leave my covering so that I could come to the covering to deal with the issue. But you didn't bring him to me. You brought him to a religious section. You brought him into a religious circumstance. He says, "Can you?" The Father says, "Can you do anything?" And Jesus with attitude says, "How long must I be with you? How long must I show you? How long must I always tell you that all things are possible to those that believe in an impossible circumstance, an impossible situation? How long? You still don't get it. Just because you don't see change, can you imagine what the daddy was going through, seeing his own seed go through what he's going through? Going through so much. His whole lineage getting ready to be taken out. His name not going forward anymore. His name not going to last. And there's a crowd that is around. And Jesus said, "How long must I be with you? You've got to grab hold of this. You've got to hold on." And he addresses the Father and said, "If I can." He said, "Well, we put the church back in ancient years. Can the church do anything? How long do I gotta be with you until if I can do anything?" Now he puts it back on them. If you can, you can do all things to those that believe. And he addresses the unbelief. The moment. Get on your back, sir. Get on your back. Get on your back. You're the little boy. Get on your back. Get on your back. Back. Watch this. The boy sees Jesus. The spirit within begins to start convulsing. Tries to throw him into the fire. Every time your circumstance sees and witnesses Jesus, the very spirit of doubt and unbelief will make you follow after doubt and unbelief instead of truth in the power of who he is. Your circumstance will always remind you you need Jesus. Your circumstance will always scream to you you need Jesus. Your circumstance will always remind you that you can't do it by yourself. Your circumstance will always look at you and tell you it's not going to change. It's not going to change. Your circumstance is going to lie to you and tell you, "No, you can't happen." And then immediately he says, watch this, Mark now reads and writes, immediately he says, "Come out, you spirit," and never, never come back again. Never come back again. And the crowd starts talking. The boy's dead. The boy's dead. The boy is dead. what is happening. The Spirit is looking for someone to say, bring me in the group. Bring me in the group. I don't want to leave. Bring me in the group. He's dead. He's dead. Strike fear. Strike fear. And those that have witnessed the very powerful, powerful anointing of God, because the covering spent time with the covering and came down and dealt with the covering. Then he says, he reaches down, read it, picks the boy up. Watch this. He said, pick the boy up. The boy, not the young man. I'm here to tell you that God is going to redeem the years. The years that this thing has plagued you too long. It's hurt you too much. It's come against you for too long. It's come against you and trying to divide you. He said, I'm going to restore it back. Everything that the enemy has lied to you about and lied to you, I will restore. I will restore. I will restore. Don't let the Spirit lie. I break off cancer in the lineage right now in the name of Jesus. It will not take root and will not take them out. I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. I speak into that spirit of infirmity. And it shall not take root. At its very root, I uplift it now. And I remove it out of the lineage, never to return again. It will not trickle down through your lineage. It's said to be a curse. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall do great exploits for the Lord. Your son shall raise up from the very pit that he has been in. And I speak against that spirit of intellectualism. And I bind it at its very root to bring humility back into his spirit, man. So that he can serve the Lord with humility. The children will be in his presence. And I speak against this foul spirit that is trying to brood over them and keep them. I release the very destiny of the seed that has gone forth. The seed had to be broken, had to be buried before it could bear fruit. It is in his brokenness that you will see that the fruit shall come forth out of the word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. It shall not return void. I've watched from on high the circumstances you've been in, the circumstance that you travailed through. I've watched from on high. Now I'm coming up my mountain to come deal with this thing, says the Spirit of God. I'm rebuking the very thing as a seed of deception off of your life. And you will see restoration come in like never before. Like never before. Your spirit is uneased, but your spirit says yes. Yes, Lord, I know you can. Yes, Lord. God is going to move on your behalf. He's going to move on your behalf. I'm going to restore to you as a young boy. I'm not going to address you in your current age. I'm going to address when it took place in your life. I'm going to remove the years of the effects in your life. And I'm going to speak the healing of when it took place. Jesus didn't ask what caused it. He just asked how long has he been in this situation. Why? Because he's asking for time to be restored. 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 I'm going to restore everything from when it took root into your life. I don't care about what happened. I just care about bringing you back to where you belong. Back into position, back onto that path that I called you to be in. And everything that the enemy meant for evil, I will turn it for your good. I will turn it for your good. Your children will always be taken care of, whether it be through the government. Your children will know that you have laid down your life for the country. You have laid down your life for your people. You have laid down your life for your children. And they will know truly what he spoke. Be a man of God, regardless of what is said. Truly, that be a man of God, because he's never come against the home. He's never come against the family. He's come against the spirit. I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm and the palmworm have stolen from you. I will restore what the enemy has tried to destroy in your life. And I will bring to you freshness and newness. What looks dead in your life, what looks like you have no hope, you're getting married. You're getting married. I saw you with the veil on right now when I looked up. Fear not, beloved. What tried to track you down from your past, that even sometimes you even go back to it. Because you did nothing. You withstood. You gave every opportunity. You prayed. I hear the Lord says you would pace back and forth. Your dog would follow you in the living room and in the kitchen as you were praying. And then you would go to the front door and you would get to the point you would say, "Wait! I'm restoring to you your helpmeet. You will be married, beloved. I see the veil that is on you." He says, "I have covered you. I have covered you in this season. I have hidden you in a place. But I'm calling you out, beloved. You will step into the joy like never before." Woo! The words that will come out of the mouth will be like honey. You will feel the love in the actions as opposed to the words. But you said, "God, I also want to hear the words." God says, double is coming back to you. Double. God is moving to bring restoration back, to bring healing. We have a God that can be on the mountaintop, seeing our valley experiences, addressing it, and sending the covering right into it. Say, "Speak, prophet, speak." Because how good and how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. They had to come down from the mountaintop to step into your circumstance and have the covering come and cover over you and say, "Yes, yes." When he raised the boy up, the boy, the writer says, the boy. So I'm going to bring you back and restore to you the years. Hear me, by him. Hear me. I will restore the years that the spirit of death has tried to take your family out. And I rebuke it. And I say, "Come out, never to return again, never to return again." And I rebuke it at its very core and at its very root. I speak life and life more abundantly. You shall witness the very things that he has desired to be returned back unto him. Isaac is turning around, says the Spirit of God. Isaac is turning around. There has come an angel to speak to him. An angel has already spoken to him. He is turning around, says the Spirit of God. Woo! Watch as Jesus speaks to the covering, the Father. Because your unbelief is removed. The unbelief is removed. That even the closest ones to him asked, "Why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we do it?" He says, this spirit. He wasn't talking about the boy's spirit. He was talking about the unbelieving spirit. Only comes out with prayer. Prayer. Thank you, sir. One of the gospels says fasting. Added to it. Fasting. What did that represent? The fasting represents dying to that unbelieving spirit. Die to it. Don't feed it. Don't feed that unbelieving spirit. Don't feed the doubt. Don't feed it. Regardless of what your circumstance is crying out to you, trying to convulse, trying to make you feel like it never left, it comes out with prayer. You don't stop praying. You pray it all the way through. How many of you are dealing with that very thing in your life that it just keeps lying to you? It hasn't left. It doesn't leave. It's still the same. It's getting worse. Let me address that. As a dad was explaining what was taking place, it increased all the time. And it got worse when Jesus stepped into the scene. It got worse when Jesus stepped in the proximity of the things that needed to be dealt with. The spirit wanted to convulse. The spirit wanted to push Jesus away. Doubt and unbelief. But Jesus stepped right into it. Faith. Faith steps right into your doubt and removes the fear and begins to make change. Change. The whole crowd was watching. The father just said, "Help me with my unbelief." There's circumstances in your life that lie. Don't give it attention. Don't focus on it. Keep your eyes fixated on your covering. Your covering is Jesus. Your covering is Jesus. All we've got to do is just say, "Yes, Lord." Stand to your feet, church. Stand to your feet.